Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Zion Mennonite Church. It is good to have you here with us this morning, wherever it is you might be joining us from. Part of this morning, it has to be celebration because we have electric. Many homes here in the Hubbard area without electric, and it's been a couple weeks since we've been able to really feel like we've been able to connect with everyone. So we are thankful and celebrating electricity. Now, you know, electric's one of those things we might take for granted sometimes, and we lose it, then we know and appreciate it when it comes back. So we're grateful for that, and certainly glad for those that were without power for so many days that have it back. So what a blessing that is. A couple announcements for us this morning. Again, I hope you're getting your bulletins, able to read those. This morning, we did a drive-through event celebrating again the work of El Torno, and did a little fundraiser there and had soup and handed out and bread and some brownies, and a lot of people came by this morning. If you missed all that, sorry, perhaps next drive-through event you'll get to, but if you would still like to donate, please feel free to do that. Either send a check here to the church or drop it off when during office hours. We'll certainly continue to welcome that. And again, just recognizing, you know, typically in a normal year, the quilting, all that money raised during that quilting time and celebration of the quilting festival would go to El Torno, and we didn't have that. So this is kind of helping to offset that. And we're going to hear from some of the staff this morning as well. So we're looking forward to that. This morning, after our worship service, we're going to have a budget meeting. So if you're part of this congregation, I'd invite you to stay on for a budget meeting at 11 o'clock following our service this morning. And next week is the lead pastor candidate weekend. We had that set up for the 21st. We had to cancel that, move it, and it will be next week. So that's in your bulletin. Again, you're going to be receiving an email on Saturday, kind of an introductory email, and then Sunday, the candidate will be here in the building preaching, and then an opportunity again to do a drive-by next Sunday afternoon. Hopefully, it'll be a nice sunny day like today is next week as well. All right. Karen Amstutz, I think, is ready. Karen, you can go ahead and unmute yourself. She is coming to us and going to just kind of, in this celebration, kind of connect with us as well. So, Karen, welcome. And I know you have some guests with you, too, from the staff there. So glad to have you with us this morning. Karen, you need to unmute. There we go. Thank you.
Okay. Good morning, brothers and sisters. We come from a place where
Karen, this is Stan. I'm going to interrupt a minute. We can't hear you very well. So what I'm going to do is stop your video and you keep talking so that we can hear what you're saying. I'll bring the video back in a minute, but at least I think I can stop your video. Maybe you have to do that. We're just not hearing you very clearly. Yeah. Karen, the other thing is make sure your hands aren't covering the microphone. Maybe that.
I don't know where the microphone is on.
Yeah, it was working better a little bit ago, so I don't think you were doing anything different. Yeah, go ahead and try talking now, Karen.
Okay.
Yeah, we still can't hear you very well. Let's see. I'm not sure what else to suggest other than I think it's kind of a connection thing. Kiara, do you have any suggestions?
I'm guessing it's how, because they were moving the computer around. So if there's any fabric or anything touching the computer, or if your hands are on the base. Oh, yeah. Talk again.
Okay. I wondered if it. I turned off the Bluetooth. We had it hooked onto a microphone. No. So
okay.
Speaker.
Okay, put your video back on now though, Karen. I think it'll work and we can see you.
Okay.
We asked you to start the video again.
No, start it. Start it. We can see you now.
Okay. Start it.
There
All
you
right.
Go.
Well, I was just giving the history of our travels this morning. We came across several rivers into El Torno on our motorcycle. And yesterday it was pouring down rain. And today it's beautiful sunshine. So we're really happy that God has given us this beautiful day to be with our staff here at the Senior Center. Lujan, our cook.
Suma's going to present it.
Well, I thought that was my job. Anyhow, we're here and we're happy to greet you.
Buenas tardes, un gusto.
It's so nice to be able to share this opportunity with you.
Mi nombre es Zulma.
My name is Zulma.
Y pues, qué alegría tener tantos años juntos.
It's been a real joy to work all these years together with you.
Y que a pesar de la distancia seguimos unidos en este servicio que es el amor hacia el adulto mayor.
And even through all these years, we are still working at this job, which is a representation of the love of the Lord for local elderly people.
Quiero hoy presentar alguna de las personas que nos acompañan en esta tarde para que ustedes conozcan.
I'd like to present the people who are here with us from the Senior Center this afternoon.
Napoleón.
Venga.
Venga. Napoleón es un adulto mayor muy valiente, siempre tiene mucha energía.
Napoleón is a person who has a lot of energy and he works here on the grounds.
Él siempre viene en su bicicleta aunque haya lluvia.
He comes on his bicycle every day even if it's raining.
Y tiene mucha energía para compartir y ayudar también a los demás adultos mayores.
He has a lot of energy that he shares with all the elderly people here.
Gracias, Napoleón. Aquí está la señora Luján. Buenas tardes.
Luján, here.
Ella es una persona que está encargada de la cocina.
She's the person who's in charge of our kitchen.
Alegra el corazón de los abuelitos a través del alimento.
She makes everybody happy with her food.
Siempre está contenta, riendo.
She's a very happy person.
Y siempre tiene una palabra de aliento para cada abuelito que se acerca a su ventana.
She's always got a good word for anybody who comes in to help her in the kitchen.
Gracias, señora Luján.
Thank you, Luján.
Listen, William.
This is William Villagomez.
Muy buenos días, ¿no?
Yeah.
Un gusto saludarle.
Good morning, every you. I'm so glad to be able to greet you this morning.
Él, a pesar de estar con el servicio ahora de honores, hace un servicio increíble para los abuelitos en el área de salud, en el área de mantenimiento, en contacto. En realidad es una gran ayuda para nuestro centro.
William is a medical intern. He's finishing his internship, but he's been giving incredible service through this time of quarantine to the elderly people and other outside community persons here at the centro.
Y estamos muy contentos de poder compartir con él su experiencia para el centro. Y agradecemos a todos los hermanos de Sion que también compartieron con él hace muchos años desde el inicio del proyecto.
We still remember his experience when he was able to visit Zion a number of years ago and the beautiful sharing and relationship that began at that time.
Recién festejamos su cumpleaños y ella nos sorprendió.
She just had her birthday here that we celebrated last week.
Trajo una botella de jugo, de refresco y unas ricas empanadas para compartir con nosotros.
She brought us a big jug of fruit juice and empanadas to share with us to celebrate her birthday.
Y ella dijo, ustedes son mi familia y quería compartir esto sencillo con ustedes.
She said, this is my family here at the center. I want to share my birthday with you.
Gracias, Margarita.
Thank you, Margarita.
Papá Eloy.
Yeah.
que quiere cantar una canción, él le pone la música nuestras mañanas.
This is Papa Eloy. Don Eloy was the first president of the Association of Elderly People over 20 years ago when the center was formed. He'd like to sing a song for you this morning, and it's the song is called You Are Wonderful, and the song is dedicated to Jesus.
Muy buenos días.
Good morning to you all.
Nosotros, de parte de todos los abuelitos, de todas las abuelitas, estamos muy agradecidos con ustedes porque les recordamos con amor. Y de paso quiero que felicites, que los saludes a los 17 hermanos que han venido a construir este templo del Centro de Ancianos Vida Feliz.
I'm so glad to be able to dedicate a song to you this morning, and I want to ask you to please take my greeting to each of the 12 persons that came from Zion and Calvary and Rock of Salvation almost 20 years ago to begin building this building for us.
Quiero dedicarles a ustedes esta canción.
Here's a song that I'm dedicating to Jesus.
Te encuentras en las flores, flores de mil colores, eres maravilloso. Te encuentras en los frutos, frutos de mil sabores, eres maravilloso. Te encuentras en el aire, donde nace la vida, donde nace el amor. Te encuentras en el agua de los manantiales, eres maravilloso. Te encuentras en los pobres, asidos de esperanza, eres maravilloso. Te encuentras en la mente de los desesperados. Te encuentras en la Biblia, escrito en profecías, eres maravilloso. Te encuentras ya muy cerca en tu venida, eres maravilloso.
Amén. Muchas gracias, Papá Eloy.
Y allá tenemos a Luciano, es un amigo alemán, adulto mayor, que también viene a compartir.
This is Luciano. He's actually a German citizen, but he's been here at the center for some time. He accompanies us as well.
Yes.
Nos ayuda para que los voluntarios estén cerca de Alemania también.
When we have German volunteers here, he helps them feel at home.
Yeah. Gracias, Luciano. Bye. Y Celestino. Celestino.
Good afternoon.
Él es nuestro nuevo hijo, aquí compañero en el centro como apoyo en el casero, el cuidado de la casa.
Celestino is the night watchman here. He's the new person who takes care of the center.
Él estuvo viviendo en la calle por 3 meses hace un año.
He was living on the street for almost a year.
Le alquilamos un cuarto por un año.
And we rented him a small room for a year.
Pero justo en estas semanas ya lo trasladamos al centro porque había un espacio para él.
But just last week we had another space here at the center, and so we moved him here, and he's sleeping here at the center and taking care of things at night.
¿Te gusta tu casa, Celestino?
Do you like your new house?
¿Tu nueva casa? ¿Te gusta tu nueva casa ahora?
Ah, sí, sí, me gusta.
Yeah, well, it's beautiful here.
Está contento con su casa grande, ¿no?
Sí, casa grande.
His house is a lot bigger here.
Con tele,
dice, yeah. Con tele.
And we even have TV, says. Bueno. Ahora, ¿quién más? Yeah. So I'd like to pass the microphone here to William, who is an ad honorem director, along with the other group that administers here. And he would like to just briefly give an update, a reminder to those who may not remember all the things that are happening here at the center and who the people at the center are.
Yeah. El Centro Anciano Vida Feliz es un centro
que ha sido creado para el servicio de la tercera edad con la principal visión de prepararlos para la eternidad a los ancianos.
The Vida Feliz Center is a center for the elderly, which has always kept in mind our principal objective of preparing people for eternity.
Desde 1997, la alianza entre la Iglesia Bautista, la Iglesia Sion, permitió que este grupo se considere sólido como una asociación y ahora ya viene sirviendo más de 23 años a la comunidad.
Since 1997, when our first partnership between the local Baptist church here and Zion Mennonite Church began, we've been serving the elderly people for over 20 years.
Por eso el apoyo que ustedes nos hacen como iglesia ha sido tan importante para que se forme una institución sólida.
That's why the support from Zion and from the churches in Oregon is so important to keep our organization solid.
Porque no hemos dependido de las autoridades políticas para apoyar a la área administrativa del centro.
It means that the center has not had to depend on unstable local politics in order to keep our administration stable.
Entonces, de esa manera hemos podido brindar una atención integral durante más de 20 años a los adultos mayores.
That's been one of the big reasons that we've been able to continue our program of integrated services to elderly people for over 20 years.
Eso ha permitido que a nivel nacional se pueda ver que la comunidad del Torno ha tenido abuelitos más longevos que cualquier parte.
That actually has been reflected in national statistics. Our county of El Torno is showing up on national statistics as one of the counties in which people here live longer lives.
Este centro se llama Vida Feliz y el lugar donde está localizado, el barrio se llama El Paraíso.
Our center is called Vida Feliz, which means happy life, and we are located in a neighborhood that is called Paradise.
Por lo tanto, tenemos un apoyo integral que es el área espiritual.
So we offer our elderly people integrated services in the spiritual area.
Y como ha habido la pandemia, hemos logrado tener programas radiales para seguir haciendo el crecimiento espiritual vía radio.
And in this time of the quarantine, we began a radio program where we send out our messages every week on local radio.
Ese es el programa más importante de la institución, que se está representado por el color amarillo, espiritual, esperanza.
So that's one of the most important aspects of our program right now, and it represents in our color code yellow, which is representing hope.
El segundo programa que manejamos es el área de salud.
The second area that we work with is health.
Brindando apoyo en la medicina.
We give people help to get medication.
Cuidado personal.
Their personal hygiene.
Y seguimiento a través de programas como, por ejemplo, Club de Diabetes.
We also offer follow-up. We have a diabetes club to help people follow up that have diabetes.
Y promovemos salud preventiva en la comunidad con una escuela de ciclismo.
We also are promoting healthy lifestyle. We have a bicycling club.
Y también tenemos un centro de entrenamiento aquí dentro del lugar.
And we have an exercise center here also for elderly people right here at the center.
Entonces, si ya tenemos el área espiritual, que es lo más importante.
So first we begin with the spiritual area.
El envase, que es nuestro cuerpo cuidado.
This jug, this vase, which is our body.
Esta pandemia hemos tenido que llevar los alimentos a sus casas, especialmente víveres, verduras, a los que no tienen ingreso propio, entonces hemos ayudado así.
During the pandemic, we've had a program where we take vegetables, fruit, and other foodstuffs out to people's houses, especially to those of low income.
La parte psicológica la tratamos con terapia ocupacional.
In the psychological area, we have a small occupational therapy program.
Yeah. Y finalmente el área social, nosotros los reunimos por grupos pequeños ahora por lo de la pandemia.
And in our social program, now that we can't get large groups together because of the pandemic, we meet small groups.
Para que ellos puedan jugar, para que puedan aprender lo que viene a ser el alfabetismo, clase de alfabetismo.
We also have literacy classes and we have social games.
Y también tenemos un equipo de fútbol.
We also still have a soccer team.
Entonces, de esa forma, estamos haciendo caso a la Organización Mundial de la Salud.
So this is the way that we are responding to what the International Health Organization recommends.
Dice así, el bienestar, completo bienestar en salud psicológico, social, en el área espiritual y en el área biológico.
So they recommend that wholeness and health comes from having health in the spiritual area, in the social area, in the health area, and biologically.
Pero la más importante es la espiritual.
For us, this, the principal base is the spiritual life.
Por eso, finalmente quiero agradecer en nombre de todos los ancianitos, de todo el equipo que trabaja, por este apoyo que nos hacen ustedes.
I'd like to take this opportunity to again thank you at Zion, at Calvary, and at Rock of Salvation for your continued support of our program.
Porque no solo cambia la vida de los ancianos, sino también de la familia.
It's a program that doesn't just change the lives of the elderly who are enrolled here, but of their whole family.
Gracias. Vida Feliz es una marca registrada ahora.
Thank you so much. I want to say that Vida Feliz, the name of the center, is now an officially registered name in Bolivia.
Calidad, compasión, ayuda mutua, compañerismo son nuestros valores.
Our values are quality, compassion, mutual aid, and companionship.
Tengan muy buenos días. Bendiciones.
Have a very good morning, brothers and sisters.
Hi, Zion. Just wanted to say hi quickly. I'm here with my boys. Oh, for those of you that don't know me,
sure.
I'm Becky, Karen and Wendell's oldest daughter. Mm-hmm. Have a blessed day.
The leadership here at Vida Feliz would like this morning to offer a prayer for all of you in Zion, and especially with the knowledge of the kind of last 2 weeks that you folks have been through. And there's trials all over the world, but you had a very special one in Oregon the last while. So we'd like to pray together for God to bless you there at Zion and God to bless us here in Vida Feliz.
Vamos a orar juntos para que el Señor nos bendiga acá y también a los de allá. Ustedes todos van a entender.
Dear Father in Heaven, we are so privileged to be here today in your presence and in presence of one another. We thank you, Father, for this marvelous opportunity to work together and represent your kingdom in this community of El Torno. We thank you for each person who works and gives their effort at Zion Church and in Vida Feliz. Thank you, Father, for giving us the faith and the resistance to keep on working. Thank you, Father, for giving us the resources that you put into our hands. And we ask you to help us be faithful to all those resources that come from your hand. We give you thanks and praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for giving us this time to connect with you, and God bless.
Great. Thank you, Wendell and Karen and staff there at Vita Feliz. We certainly appreciate just this opportunity to connect with you guys. And thanks for showing us around a little bit, and appreciate the staff. And we certainly will continue in our prayers for you and the staff there and everyone you serve. I like what I heard, just a lot of good stuff you guys are doing. But this concept and idea of preparing people for eternity, I think that's what we're all about. Preparing people for eternity. So thanks again. Appreciate you guys being able to join us. Blessings on your day there. And we trust God will continue to bring you the benefits of serving and connecting, and also the financial piece as well. And we're going to work hard here at Zion to help in that as best we can. So thank you very much. Blessings upon you. Take care. And now we're going to have a song out of the Hymnal Worship Book, number 75, Holy, Holy, Holy.
Good morning, Zion. I am happy to see everyone on the second Sunday of Lent. And I would invite everybody to read along with me in the, I mean, you can read the whole thing because nobody else will be able to hear you, but I would invite you particularly to read aloud the everyone section that you can see on your screen. And I will read in the leader portion. We come to worship this morning from different places. O God, do not be far from us. We come to worship this morning for different reasons. O God, do not be far from us. We experience the presence of the Spirit in different ways. O God, do not be far from us. We hear Jesus's words with different ears. O God, do not be far from us. Deny yourselves. O God, do not be far from us. Take up your cross. O God, do not be far from us. Follow me. O God, we thank you for drawing near to us in this place, in our lives. Amen.
If you have a candle nearby, I want to invite you to reach for that candle so that you can light it at the end of my prayer this morning, as we have a collective prayer for the grief of lives lost to the virus this year. And my prayer has been shaped by several pastors. One is Cardinal Gregory, and the other is Reverend Adam Russell Taylor. So please reach for a candle, and at the end of my prayer, we will listen to the hymn, Be Still My Soul, and that's when we will light our candles. In just over 1 year, on February 22nd, the United States surpassed a tragic milestone. 500,000 people in this country have died from COVID-19. And while that number is devastating, it doesn't even take into account the full human toll of the global pandemic. The victims span every age group and corner of our country. This winter feels like a prolonged wilderness of grief and loss as we pray together. God, open our hearts to recall those who have died from the coronavirus. Death represents an individual person loved by God and made in God's image, who had parents and family and friends, and whose loss has ripple effects across many lives. Each of these beloved children of God have left behind a real void. God, we ask that you strengthen those families and friends who remain behind to comfort one another, to wipe the tears from our eyes. May each one find peace and let the memory of our loved ones itself be a blessing. We pray that regardless of race, age, religious heritage, economic or immigration status, all people are able to receive the life-saving vaccine to bring an end to our common suffering. Our hearts are filled with gratitude for our doctors, nurses, and emergency personnel, and we pray that they remain well, steadfast, and be strengthened. God, help us to focus on our mutual humanity. Although we are weary from many months of isolation, help us not to lose hope. Help us to continue to care for our neighbors as we remember those who have been lost in this pandemic. And we know the poor, the elderly, people of color have experienced a disproportionate amount of sadness due to the coronavirus. This has increased our awareness in our common humanity. Lord, protect, provide, and meet their needs. We have been brought to a deeper awareness that we are one people, and this illness, this disease, this virus is no respecter of persons. We find solace and hope in God's promise that nothing can separate us from God's love, neither death nor life. From Romans 8, what then shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship, persecution or famine or nakedness or danger? No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. for I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Please light your candles at this time.
Be still, my soul, the Lord is on my side. Bear patiently the cross of grief or pain. Live to thy God to order and cry. In every change, he faithful will remain. Be still, my soul, thy best, thy heavenly friend. Through thorny ways leads to a joyful end. Be still, my soul, thy God doth undertake to guide the future as he has the past.
Happy Valentine's Day, everyone. Toby agreed to record me here in the basement this morning in our singing corner because I sure miss singing with all of you guys. When I was in elementary school, I remember calling today St. Valentine's Day. I Googled St. Valentine and learned that Valentine was a Catholic priest and doctor in Rome about 260 years after the death and resurrection of Jesus. The historians believe Valentine was punished for performing secret weddings for Roman soldiers after the emperor declared that all soldiers must remain single. Valentine preached a lot about God and love. Today, Saint Valentine is the patron saint of love, engaged and married couples, young people, travelers, beekeepers, and people with epilepsy. The first Valentine's Day cards appeared about 700 years ago in England, and today Valentine's Day is widely celebrated in America, Canada, Mexico, England, France, and Australia. So what does Valentine's Day mean to modern-day Christians? I think it's a good reminder to love one another, a reminder to tell your family and friends how much you love them, and to give thanks to God for first loving us. Let's close by singing together Magic Penny. Love is something if you give it away, give it away, give it away. Love is something if you give it away, you end up having more. It's just like a magic penny, hold it tight and you won't have any. Bend it, spend it and you'll have so many, they'll roll over the floor.
Thank you for that, Chris. As you probably noted, because we missed the Valentine's Day service, we played that today because Chris had gone to the effort to do that. So thank you, Chris. We are now, well, I'm going to read the scripture for today, which is Matthew 5, 17 through 20. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have come not to abolish, but to fulfill. For truly I tell you, until heaven and earth pass away, not one letter, not one stroke of a letter will pass from the law until all is accomplished. Therefore, whoever breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does them and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven.
Thank you, Kiara. We appreciate the words you read for us from Scripture this morning. As we step into the sermon this morning, I recognize the time. So I'm going to take my sermon, which I had prepared. It was only about 30, 40 minutes long originally. So now we're going to just see what God has for us this morning as we step into this text. We are in a series on the Sermon on the Mount. Wow. Okay. And in this series, we're really trying to think about and understand more and more what it is that God calls us to as individuals, you and I, but also as a congregation. And this has been in your bulletin since we've been in this series, but just to think about, our hope is that as we look at these teachings of Jesus and the Sermon on the Mount, that we're encouraged, and also it's a challenge too. We're encouraged and challenged to be people. And then this connection to what is our covenant together, our mission, to be people growing together as a Christ-centered community, worshiping God, extending our Anabaptist branch into our world, bearing the lasting fruit of discipleship, and planting seeds of God's reign through hospitality, service, and reconciliation with God and others. So in all of what we're learning from the Sermon on the Mount and Jesus' teaching, just trying to think about how it connects with our life as a congregation in stepping out in faith and doing that which God calls us to do. The title of the sermon this morning is Jesus Fulfills, and it comes out of this text in Matthew chapter 5, just trying to think about what Jesus was talking about when he said that I have not come to abolish the law, but to fulfill them. And for some reason, whenever I read in Scripture about law or think about God's law, I think about getting in trouble. Now, why would that be? Maybe it's because there are certain laws that we follow in this land, in our culture. And I probably have shared before that sometimes my driving pushes the edges of the law. And so my experience as a lawbreaker really relates back to my driving. And not that it happens often, but usually I get pulled over for speeding or other things as far as driving is concerned, like forgetting to put my seatbelt on. It usually happens after I talk about it in a sermon. So in the budget this month will be for that fine, whatever it will be coming up. No, I really am a good driver. You can ask my wife. Well, maybe not. Maybe ask some other people. But what we want to see here this morning is Jesus, again, is trying to lead us into what is in the rest of this sermon in regards to how we live out our life. Remember, we went through the Beatitudes and the blessings that come, but now stepping into what's going to come in the next several weeks, not next week, we're taking a break again next week, but then following that, I'll come back in and just try and pull out of Jesus' words what we need to understand about the law and about how we live. Because the law that Jesus is referring to is the Old Testament law, Exodus. If you go back there to the Mosaic law, it's not, it seems to me like it's not a gracious part of God's plan for us, because where the law is, the requirement of the law is death. If you break the law in the Old Testament, it required death, and that was either death of a bird, some animal, lamb, ox, or depending on the offense or the law, it required the death of a person. And that doesn't seem very fair to me. I mean, what's the point of that? But the point of the Old Testament law was pointing to the need that you and I have today for Jesus. And that when Jesus says that I am the fulfillment of the law, I haven't come to abolish that stuff to do away with, but I've become the fulfillment of it. It is about Jesus being the Messiah, the King, and that's the theme here that Matthew's trying to convey. Jesus is the Messiah. And as the Messiah, the fulfillment of the law, part of that fulfillment is Jesus took on that death that was required by a just God when there's sin. Jesus takes on that death at the cross. And we're headed towards Easter, and Lent's about preparing ourselves for Easter, but recognizing that Jesus gives up life, and that's that requirement of the law. He gives up life so that you and I then no longer need to sacrifice birds and animals when there's sin. And we don't need to be stoned when there's sin, because we can see Jesus as the fulfillment of the law, the requirement of that, and that he has taken that on at the cross. And that is, if we need to look at anything in this text, that I think is what I'm seeing today that's so important, that fulfillment, that understanding that Jesus fulfilled that. And that is a perspective then that we need to take with us in the rest of Matthew chapter 5 and Matthew chapter 6 as we see the Sermon on the Mount. And Matthew records and writes more about this fulfillment. In fact, the word used for fulfill or fulfillment in Matthew is used 16 times in places like Matthew chapter 1. All this, Jesus being born, took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. Matthew chapter 2, it says about where Jesus was living, where he stayed until the death of Herod, and so was fulfilled. Verse 17, what was said through the prophet Jeremiah was fulfilled. Verse 23, fulfilled. It's throughout the book of Matthew, 16 times about being fulfilled. And I think as I see these words this morning, this understanding that Jesus is the fulfillment of the law and prophets, this pointing the Old Testament law, the Old Testament prophets pointing to Jesus, Jesus showing up on the scene and saying, I am the fulfillment. In one commentary that I've been reading as we've been going through this series, and I've been reading several different commentators, one note about commentators, I don't know if you know this, but if you line up all the commentators shoulder to shoulder, they still won't agree. But this one commentator, it captured my attention. He says this about Jesus and the law. Jesus was well aware that not that much that much of what he was going to say would be in a fundamental contradiction to what the masses had been taught. He recognized that there would be a chasm, an incompatibility between the prevailing orthodoxy that they had been raised in and that which he was going to be advocating. And in doing this, he was defying the religious traditions that had evolved, but he was opposing nothing that came from God. When we see in chapter 5, Jesus, as we go further into the book, is going to say things like, you've heard it was said, but I say. You've heard that it was said, but I say. Jesus, again, isn't going against what God has said in the Old Testament, but when he takes these words of what you've heard that has been said, but I say, it is a fulfillment of all of that, but it is also an expansion of it in an understanding of Jesus' authority. Remember, Matthew's trying to convey the fact that Jesus is the King, the Messiah, and has that authority. So we see that as he shares with us these words of the Sermon on the Mount, that there is a part of Jesus in fulfilling all of what was in the Old Testament that stretches the and we're going to use this word righteousness, this understanding of righteousness. And really what righteousness is about how we live, doing what we do. It's about morality. It's about understanding of who we are as people in the world. How do we do this? And that's what is conveyed here in the Sermon on the Mount. And traditionally, as Mennonites, we would say, at least in my understanding, we would say that, you know, the Sermon on the Mount, the things that Jesus is teaching in the Sermon on the Mount is for us today. It's not about some kingdom that will be coming, but it is for us right now to live in understanding of this morality. The Sermon on the Mount doesn't cover all the things that we need to be engaged in. It doesn't cover all the subjects, but it gives us an understanding of how to apply that which God has given us. The Old Testament law, Jesus is taking that and he's applying that and saying, I'm fulfilling that. And part of Jesus' fulfillment of the Old Testament law, the Old Testament prophets, was to challenge the Pharisees and the teachers of the law. So this fulfillment is about fulfilling the law, but it was also about opposing the Pharisees. And we see that right here in these verses in verse 19. And so that's that chasm that Jesus was creating in his day between the church, which would have been the Pharisees, the Jewish understanding, all those traditions, and taking it and saying, there's some pieces here that's been misunderstood, or that Jesus as authority, as king, is fulfilling and adding on to. So that's what we want to look at as we see the rest of the Sermon on the Mount. But in that opposition, we see it here clearly, Jesus going after those teachers who would have taught against or not in accordance with the commands. And we see it also later in Matthew. In Matthew chapter 15 is where Jesus makes it very clear his opinion towards the Pharisees and their teachings, their additions to the biblical text, to the law. In Matthew chapter 15, Matthew shares that some Pharisees and teachers of the law came to Jesus from Jerusalem and asked, why do your disciples break the tradition of the elders? So Jesus is asking right there, tradition. What's this about? And he goes on to say, they don't wash their hands before they eat. And Jesus replies and says, why do you break the command of God for the sake of your tradition? So Jesus is lining up the Pharisees, lining up God's requirements, God's law, right alongside tradition. And he's challenging that thinking. So in Matthew chapter 15, Jesus calls the crowd to him and said, listen and understand. And this is what he says. He says, what goes into someone's mouth does not defile them, but what comes out of their mouth is what defiles them. And that was a shift in thinking and understanding for the Pharisees and for the Jewish people around the Pharisees. So later in chapter 15 of Matthew, the disciples come to Jesus and they say to Jesus, they say, you know, you kind of upset the Pharisees. They were offended when they heard you speak about this. And I find that interesting that the Pharisees were offended. And it's not, I don't think, it's that Jesus wanted to offend the Pharisees, but it was about his fulfilling, his moving forward in his call and ministry. And because his reply is this, and this is in Matthew chapter 15, he says, every plant that God has not planted will be pulled up by the roots. Leave them. They are blind guides. If the blind lead the blind, both will fall into a pit. So if we think about the fulfillment, Jesus is the fulfillment, but then in that fulfillment, he is also bringing opposition to those that would not see him as the fulfillment. And then in verse 20 in Matthew chapter 5, our text for today, this call by Jesus that the righteousness, unless your righteousness surpasses, is greater than that of the Pharisees and teachers of the law, you're not going to enter the kingdom of heaven. Now, the Pharisees and teachers of the law, they were so righteous, they had added on to the understanding of the Old Testament law. They had put on all these extra laws. They just were so careful about everything they did. In fact, in one story, it talks about things that the Pharisees would have done to be so sure they gave 10% of everything. So if they went and bought some salt, they'd want to make sure 10% was given to God. So they would pour out all the salt on the table and count the grains of salt to make sure that they would give 10% of that salt to God. I mean, that's kind of the craziness that perhaps the Pharisees were, the extent that the Pharisees were going through to be righteous. And for Jesus's followers, his disciples in the Sermon on the Mount to hear something like, you have to be more righteous than that, more righteous than the Pharisees, I think that would have just been just overwhelming. Like, there's no way. There's no way that we can get to God by what we do. I think that's what they would have heard. And that's true. There is no way that I can live such a righteous life, such a moral life, a sinless life, that I can get to God without Jesus. We can't do it. We can take the Sermon on the Mount and say, okay, we're going to do everything that Jesus calls us to do in the Sermon on the Mount. And then we're in. We're righteous. But we can't do it. We fail. We come short. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And so this isn't about we can't do it. So what's the use? Let's just go live however we want to live because we can't do it anyway. It's not about that. What it's about is that God has provided for us salvation through a relationship with Jesus Christ. And because of that relationship, we can go out and live into this call of the Sermon on the Mount to be moral and righteous. And our righteousness surpasses that of the Pharisees because the righteousness that we carry is the blood of Jesus. It is the law fulfilled as we relate and connect to God through Jesus by the power of the Holy Spirit. So Jesus fulfills us with a surpassing righteousness that's talked about as Jesus is the fulfillment. So in Colossians, let me get there. Colossians chapter 3. Okay, there's a whole lot here. But it's about where we're headed, where we're going, because of this relationship and that Jesus is fulfillment. Colossians chapter 3, verse 1. Since then, you have been raised with Christ. Set your heart on things above, where Christ is seated. Christ is seated at the right hand of God. There is so much hope in me just in the fact that Christ is seated at the right hand of God. I look at this world and it seems like it's just chaos. And if I were Jesus, praise God, that's not the case. But I would think all this stuff I'd have to be watching and trying to take care of, and you know, Zion, they're trying to do good, but their internet connection is so poor. I got to get down there and help that internet connection. Jesus isn't up in heaven running around going crazy. Seated at the right hand of God. It goes on in Colossians chapter 3, set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. That is the righteousness fulfilled. That is where we're headed. That's where we're going. And because that's where we're headed, because that's where we're going, we can go back into the Old Testament law and think about God calls us to faithful living, to righteousness, and because we know where we're headed, we are being prepared for life eternity. We can do it. We can live moral and righteous lives as God equips us and prepares us. And none of us will get it right. But here's what happens for me. I try. But boy, I know how to make mistakes. And so when I make mistakes, this is what I try to do. Number one, I try to admit it. Now, it's not easy for me to admit that I made mistakes because I come from a long line of men who are always right. So admit I made a mistake, back up. Maybe I need to ask for forgiveness. If I do, ask for forgiveness, but then keep trying to move forward into whatever it is that God's calling me to do. Sometimes when I make a mistake, when I sin and when I back up, I realize that is not the direction God's calling me to go. And it is in the righteousness that comes through Jesus that forgiveness happens in my life, that I can continue to try and live into that moral calling, that moral imagination that Jesus has given to each one of us as believers. Fulfilled. Jesus fulfills. Let me pray for us. God, thank you for this morning. Thank you for your word. God, I would ask that you would help us to live into this fulfilled righteousness that you've given to us. God, help us not to do it on our own, not to act like we've got it all together. Help us to seek after what you would have for us. God, if there are places in our lives that we need to change, adjust, ask forgiveness, give us clarity, give us courage, give us the energy to do that. God, I would ask too that you'd continue to bless us here at Zion, and the things that you're doing in our hearts, in the life of the community of this congregation, God. We thank you for the places where we are called to reach out in ministry that go far beyond us. We heard about that this morning in what's happening in El Torno in Bolivia in Vita Feliz. And we thank you for that ministry. God, we pray for next weekend as the candidate comes here. God, you're in this. Help us to sense where you're at in our hearts, in our minds, in your spirit, as we seek after your direction for our church, God. God, bless us this day. In your name I pray, amen.
God, my feet,
while I run this race, while I run this race, guide my feet, while I run this race, for I don't want to run this race in vain.
Hold my hand
while I run this race.
Stand by me
while I run this race,
my Lord, stand by me
while I run.
child,
while I run this race, I'm your child, while I run this race, I'm your child, while I run this race, for I don't want to run this race in vain.
Search my heart.
For the benediction this morning, I will read, it is not a prayer, so you might, and it's kind of deep, so you might need your eyes wide open for this one. You have called us, O God, to embrace the mission of Jesus as our own. Our sight is not equal to this vision, and our strength is not equal to this task. But you, O Lord, are a merciful God. You give light to those who walk in darkness, and you give strength to those who carry heavy loads. As we return to the everyday world, let us see your light before us and feel your strength within us. Go in peace.